The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, if you understand Vulcan, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, we cover the introduction to the Book of Ezra. Ooh. To whom was it written? When was it written? Why was it written? We cover the basics, just the very basics, to push forward in understanding God's redemption of a nation. Next, this entire two-book connection, that's Ezra and Nehemiah, is the Lord, and it's the Lord fulfilling prophecy. Isn't that cool? There are many elements to the Word of God, but if you have a solid focus on how God makes plans, then tells us through his prophets, and then fulfills those plans, it's extremely helpful to our faith. And finally, if we fail to see that the Lord is in charge, then, now, and always, we fail to hear the message from the Lord in the big and little pictures. In all the world, and always, God oversees and permits as he sees fit. He alone is in charge of everything.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Don't forget, I define politics as poly being many and ticks being blood-sucking insects. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Comes right here to my $1.19 Chromebook right here in front of me. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And finally, you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When Terrific T, she will answer the phone, and when she answers the phone, it's like touching base with a great friend. Nice, right? Touching base with a great friend. Oh, how you been? Oh, it's great. Here's the bottom line. It can be praise reports. It can be prayer requests. It can be answering Bible trivia. It can be questions about things the Lord's doing in your life. It can be theological questions. If they're light, we'll be able to answer it on the air. If they're heavier, we'll have to take a little time. It can be about everything and anything as long as it's there to be an encouragement to the body of Christ, because that's what we're trying to do, encourage one another, educate one another, and somewhat entertain one another as the day gets closer and closer and closer. With that in mind, let's go in for trivia. Ready? Not a complex one. Okay, yeah, I'm going to answer. Let me do that, and then I'll answer to Troy. Okay, so here's the trivia question. What was the name of James and John's father? The disciples, James and John. What was their dad? What was his name? That's number one. So number two, somebody wanted to know, what was Troy? So I'll say it really nice. That they wanted to get an idea of what my background is, just a little bit, so you know where I'm coming from. And for those of you out there that have heard the show, you've known this for quite some time, so I'm just kind of, you know, putting it together for people who are new or who are listening. I was born and raised Jewish, went to private Hebrew school. I mean, for realsy, realsy. Then I got involved in pharmaceutical recreationals, which is a nice way of saying I was doing bad things. And then I became a Christian. Somebody presented the gospel to me. And then I went on to get a Baptist, a Pentecostal, and a charismatic ordination. Typically, I go by Baptist. It's my easiest way. But when people really push me, I'd say this. I'm just a Jewish guy trying to get to heaven through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. There you go. That's it. You like that? That's pretty straightforward, right? Okay. All right.
Very straightforward. I'm here for it.
Exactly. All right. So trivia question. What was the name of James and John's father? This answer is in Mark chapter 10. James and John, the apostles there who were also fishing buddies, just like Andrew and Peter. If you think you know, you can text in or you can – text is 214-210-8483 or you can call in 972-445-0770. Let's not forget the website. Last time I'm going to say this, period. If you go on the website and you go there before 6 o'clock today, you can do our quick five-minute survey, and that survey, unpublished, doesn't require your name. Nobody gets the information, but it will be used in a doctorate-level publication. So that's all I'm going to say to you. Check it out. The website's hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All righty. Well, do we have anything, any kind of sound we want to try? Did you want to try anything? Because I really, okay, give something a try because I didn't come up with anything. I didn't give T anything to work with because I am not wise. What do we got we're going to try and do with for Ezra and Nehemiah? You want to try something? Go ahead.
I have saved the best for the last because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
I love it. What an excellent choice. Okay, every Monday. Okay, 2 o'clock. You got it. All right, there's a song. All right, we're going to talk to you about the book of Ezra. I'm going to try and make this as, I'm not saying painless as possible, just because when you're doing introduction material, there's a lot of material to cover. Okay, for those that are following the book of Ezra, I want you to know who the contemporaries or other Bible people are in regards to the book of Ezra. So Ezra is covering a period basically of what we would say is 538 BC. Somewhere it was written between 538 and 558 BC. That we know. Okay. Okay. And so the idea is to understand that Ezra, as it starts, has Bible contemporaries. In other words, when you're reading Ezra, you should think of this. Haggai, the prophet, he was a part of this scenario. Zechariah, the prophet, he was a part of this scenario. So whenever you're reading Ezra, you think, there's a connection here with Ezra and Haggai, and there's a connection here with Ezra and Zechariah. There's a connection with Esther. And Esther kind of comes at towards the end of the Ezra time. And then you have Nehemiah. And Nehemiah picks it back up, which is after Esther. And then after Nehemiah is finally Malachi. The reason that I'm telling you that is so you can understand kind of the Bible flow. So Ezra, and then think Haggai and Zechariah, got it, and then towards the end, Esther, and then Nehemiah comes into the picture, and then finally Malachi. That's how the Old Testament structure is, and I'll give you just a couple of quickie things for this introduction, and there's so much to teach. I have about 300 points, which we'll get to all today. No, I'm kidding. You get to one or two today. All right, the setting. Israel's capital is Jerusalem, which is a vassal state under the control of the Persian king. Most of the Jews were exiled to Babylon and Persia. Some were left behind to remain in the land. When the Jewish exiles returned to the land, they faced opposition from the enemy, particularly from the Sumerians who lived there. When the exiles returned to the land, they discovered that the distinctiveness of the Jews who were not deported had been compromised. So the people that were left behind kind of messed up. And they intermarried with non-Jewish people. God called Ezra to bring the community back to covenant faithfulness. God called Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem's wall and to secure the city. The repopulation of the promised land was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy from Isaiah 40, 1 through 11, and Jeremiah 25, 11 through 12, and 29, 10. So this whole book, when you read Ezra and Ezra Nehemiah, even though they're together in the Jewish Bible, they're one book, but that's okay. It's split up because there's so much time. From the beginning of Ezra to the end of Nehemiah is almost 100 years. So it's a long period of time. But when you read Ezra, the first thing that you got to pick up on is God is showing his faithfulness, period. Once again, demonstrating through the word of God, God is declared ahead of time, and now is bringing to pass his very faithfulness. I want to talk to you about the practical application, and then when we come back, we're going to start getting into the splitting into the very, very deepest parts of it. Book of Ezra is a chronicle of hope and restoration. For the Christian whose life is scarred by sin and rebellion against God, there is great hope that our God is a God of forgiveness. Do you get that? Our God is a God of forgiveness. A God who will not turn his back on us when we seek him in repentance and brokenness. This whole book, that is the key. No matter how long we've been away, he's ready to forgive us, ready to receive us back into his family, and willing to show us how to rebuild our lives and resurrect our hearts. That is the premise of the personal application of this book. God saying, come here, I'll give you another shot. Come here, I'm going to help you. I know you messed up. This way, follow me. So when we get back, I'll give a few more highlights. I do want to answer the trivia question. What was the name of James and John's father? The name was Zebedee. That's out of Mark chapter 10, verse 35. The name was Zebedee. And then when we come back, we're going to start actually going into the text of Ezra with a few more things I'm going to share with you. But just keep in mind, this is about this is a book that shows prophecy, the fulfillment, and it's a book about hope and restoration. So when you read these books, you think, this God is saying, I'm for you. He demonstrates that fully in Jesus Christ, doesn't he? All right. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Anyway, that's not even the story. Let me tell you the story, because it's so big, I cut the first third yesterday. And that's the front of the house. And the back two-thirds I'll do today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever that is. But it looks really good, all right? That's cool. Anyhow, so I'm cleaning it all up, and I've got the little electric weed eater and the little blower. They're working. It works great. Everything's working great. And I have a stick. Now, this stick was there when we moved into the house, and it was a stick that went with a broken rake. And I don't know why my wife and I have kept it in the garage for like 17 months, but I thought, this is ridiculous. I got to get rid of this stick. So I looked at the stick, and I thought, I can high karate this because it wouldn't fit in the trash can. Right? A little too long. You put it in the trash can, even on an angle, the trash can sitting up about 4 inches, and you know it was windy yesterday. So if I did that, you catch the wind, and you know. So I thought, nah, I can high karate this. I'm strong enough. And then I thought, this is the kind of thing where pride really gets in the way. I got to be careful. So I did what any other guy would do. I took my two trash cans. I put the stick in between the two trash cans. I took a saw and I cut the saw half. I used the saw and cut the stick halfway through. So now I'm going to high karate this bad boy and feel good about it. Yeah, no pride here, right? How long do I got? Like a minute? 2 minutes? Perfect. 2 minutes. Watch this. So I cut it perfectly in half. I get my arm, my forearm, my elbow, and I go, hi-ya! And I high karate that bad boy. One part of the two-part sticks, okay, which is like kind of like a broom handle, hits the top of the trash can where it was sitting, kind of bounced on it, came up, and hit me right in the forehead. Bam!
Yes.
I was really feeling pride right up until it hit me in the head. And then I realized, one, I couldn't have done it without the saw. And two, even with the saw, apparently I couldn't have done it. Because the stick hit me back. I don't think that was very nice of it. And I will say it did end up in the trash and it went bye-bye. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready to do our next trivia question. I do want to add on, because we had somebody call and wanted to get a little bit of my background. I do have a, I should probably have said this. So I've been a Christian for like 42, maybe 43 years. It kind of gets, my brother and I have an argument as to which year it started, okay, which is fine. Okay, he can be right. Let's see, 42 years. I do have a BA in leadership and ministry from a Foursquare church. I have a master's degree in theological study from Regent University, which is kind of a slash charismatic, and I'm doing my doctorate in Liberty University, which is a Baptist church. Okay, so, I just hope I'm done with all this. I just can't wait till I'm like, I have no homework. I just can't wait. I'm so excited. My wife said the other day, I said, you know, I'm getting weary. She goes, you're too close now. There's no getting, I can't get around it. Okay, watch this. Not a trick question on purpose, but kind of a trick question. This is out of the Gospel of Matthew. Who preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? From the Gospel of Matthew. Who preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Hint, more than one. There you go. How's that? More than one. That's all I'm going to leave you with there. You can call 972-445-0770 and then call and say howdy to. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. I got to do what? Just the one joke and then we'll get into the text. Okay. I got a cute little joke if I can find out where I put the piece of paper. Oh, here it is. Okay. Ready? Here we go. You guys have to think about this. It gives you a little bit of move the mind. I know it's Monday, but you can do this. The story goes that a certain court jester went too far one day and insulted the king. The king became so infuriated that he sentenced the jester to be executed. His court prayed upon the king to have mercy on this man. So this is where the faith part comes in. His court prayed upon the king to have mercy on the man who had served him so well for so many years. After a time, the king relented only enough to give the jester his choice as to how he would like to die. True to form, the jester replied, "If it's all the same to you, my lord, I'd like to die of old age." See, instead of being executioners, come on. How'd you like to die? Of old age. Okay. I don't disagree with you. I'll give it a crickets. Somebody on the phone for an answer then? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ace.
Hey, Ace. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm a blessed man. I'm doing good.
Awesome.
I'm doing good.
I'm glad to hear you're doing good. That blesses Amen. Me to hear that you're doing good.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, my friend. Now, this is not, I wasn't trying to trick anybody. It's just one of those classics. Who preached, this is out of Matthew, who preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand?
Oh, well, would that be John?
That is correct. And somebody else preached that same message right after John. Do you know who that was?
Peter?
Nope. Go think of really, really like John's relative. Okay. The everything centers around him in regards to the New Testament.
The Lord Jesus.
That's right. Ding, ding, ding. There it is. After John had preached that Matthew 3, 1 through 2, Jesus also preached that Matthew 17, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A lot of people miss that John gave that call to repentance. Jesus gave that call to repentance. In Peter's first sermon, there was a call to repentance. And then when you read in Acts, Paul's first declarations called for repentance. It's like, it's amazing. It's like, repent, 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 repent. So you're getting it on every side.
Yep. Yeah. And I think Jesus said one greater than that. He said, repent or perish, which is a scary one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, good job, my brother.
Strong medicine.
There you go, my brother.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for being a blessing.
Thank you for being a spiritual seed in the world's airwaves. And, you know, there's a lot of voices out there, and a whole lot of voices out in the airwaves. So we declare victory over the enemy by the blood of our Savior, Jesus, Yeshua.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. Here we go. All right. Ready for Ezra? Dave, it's Monday. Why are you so happy? That's all I got for you. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy by stirring the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation into writing and to send it throughout his kingdom. Now, just stop. I didn't even write notes on this. Just listen to this. In the first year of King Cyrus, so there's a string of kings from Nebuchadnezzar to this moment and after this moment, as we're going to find out, because Ezra, really, you have to break Ezra up into chapters 1 through 6, and then chapter 7, Ezra himself actually enters the picture. But as we're starting off this whole thing, you have to understand what's going on in chapters 1 through 6, which cover about, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, depending. It's about 20 years, I would say, from start to finish. Then Ezra comes into the picture. That's in chapter 7. But right here, listen to what's being said. Before you go anywhere else, see, everybody's always quick to run into the middle. Relax and look at the very beginning. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy. What was the prophecy? That they would be imprisoned or captives for 70 years. And some people are like, well, you know, it was 68 or it was 72, and there's some of this and some of this. Everybody stop. God says 70, it's 70. And it was exactly 70 from the moment that the temple was destroyed until the temple was rebuilt from the captivity. I mean, when the temple was rebuilt, it's exactly 70 years. And the Lord fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy. And that's how the entire book, that's how Ezra and Nehemiah, you need to see it. Going into the book, this is all about God fulfilling his word that he gave through Jeremiah about the captivity and yet again the restoration of Israel. You think, well, why is that critical? Is that important? I don't know. You think the new covenant is critical and important, also prophesied? Do you think that the things that lead to the new covenant are important? After the Ezra-Nehemiah process and after Malachi ends, you have the in-between period, the intertestamental period New Testament, the Old Testament. Then you have the introduction to Jesus Christ. This is a key, critical brick in the building of the kingdom of God in its overall view. And here, before anything starts, King Cyrus, who became a king, in his first year, I mean, he's just new guy on the throne. Nebi's done. Other guy's done. This guy's in charge. New guy on the throne. The Lord's like, now I'm going to do what I want to do. And see, everybody's thinking, well, if these people are in charge, this can't happen. Or if these people are in charge, this can't happen. We've got to stop thinking like reactionary Christians. We've got to stop thinking like reactionary believers. The Lord has a plan, and there is nothing that you and I or our leaders or our government or other world leaders or anybody in the world is going to stop. There's no way it's going to stop because God is going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. If you want to know how very literal that is, tomorrow I'll probably be teaching this in the first 30 minutes. Let me just read Psalm 2, where God's like, okay, I'm in charge, and you guys made a plan against me, and that's not going to work, and I just laugh at you. That's what God does to world leaders. So what we understand from the very beginning is God has a plan. And his plan is about to come about, and he doesn't care if he's using a foreign king to bring about what he wants to get accomplished. The Lord is going to fulfill his word through his prophet Jeremiah. And that's the thing that people miss. God makes a proclamation. He tells us through his prophets, and then he backs up the prophet's words with actions. So as you think of the Lord, a lot of people think of the Lord as, you know, he's like this old guy sitting on a rocking chair, or he's, you know, like this guy that's just, you know, shooting people left and right. It's like, look, of all the things that you can consider God as, an architect would be much wiser, because he's building. He's got a plan. He's got something put together. And there he tells Jeremiah, we did that on the call-in. So he tells Jeremiah, bam, bottom line, tell them it's going to be 70 years. 70 years comes about. The Lord's like, now I'm going to fulfill it. Now I'm going to accomplish it. Now I'm going to get it done. You got that? So when you think of those things, you think of, so we were just talking with Ace about John the Baptist and about Jesus. You just think, you have to understand that all of that led towards John the Baptist, led towards Jesus, all pointing. It's kind of like you ever go on the freeway and they have those trucks and they have the little arrows and they squish out a lane and then they force everybody to move over. Right? You know what I'm talking about? I know everybody's really excited about that. Anyway, you see that arrow that tells you, get out of this lane, go into this lane. Okay. Well, that's what everything's pointing into a particular direction. Part of this fulfillment prophecy is exactly that. What's most amazing is how God does what he does. It's most amazing. It's most incredible for you and I as believers to look at our circumstance and think, how did God rearrange all this so that I could be winning out of this and successful? That's what's most amazing about all this stuff. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am. The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, he will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine, but I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow. When people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution, and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered, and, oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let me get our next trivia question. What to do with that trivia question? It's around here somewhere. I have got so many papers in front of me, I'm not kidding. Do I have a lot of papers? I mean, I got them all over the place, right?
It's covering your laptop.
It's covering everything. It's like, wow. See, I wanted to get as much information, then I sit there and think, I only have so many minutes to get all that stuff in. Yeah, what do you do? All right, here you go. What bird did God provide to the Israelites for meat in the wilderness? What bird did God provide? Don't say the cuckoo. What bird did God provide to the Israelites for meat in the wilderness? I think we asked that not that long ago, but it's still a good one to keep everybody on their toes. We're going to get into Ezra, a few more factual things we got to cover on Ezra. I want to talk about the procession of kings that this went through. In the meantime, I do want you to remember about the website, hemustincrease.org. So let's throw that back up, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, there you go. So check out the website. Check out the picture of Bert. Check out the picture or the little thing on the survey, and then all the other real cool little stuff we have. What bird did God provide for the Israelites for meat in the wilderness? If you think you know the answer, you call 972-445-0770 or you text 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we're winding down on these, but we still want to get the ones in that we still have. Let's do our history for today.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, here we go. So for today, and those that do not know, today is National Garlic Day. Now, I am a huge fan of garlic bread. I'm just going to say, I'm sorry. It's like, you shouldn't like that. Oh, well. And you know what I like? This is terrible. I can't believe I'm confessing this. When we get Papa John's, everyone's what we get, because Noel really likes that cheese that they have, we get the garlic knots. Just love. I think we like that more than the pizza.
Those are so good.
They're so good.
Bread and garlic. Great combination.
Great combo. Today is also Bicycle Day. I mean, that'd be more interesting if you knew the song Bicycle. Bicycle, bicycle.
You know a fun fact?
What's up? No, I do not.
I do not know how to ride a bicycle.
What? You don't know how to ride? Nobody, you never ever touch on it?
No, and we had a bicycle for years. Just never got on it.
Never got it? Never used it?
Yeah, never used it. Only bike I know how to use is the machine at the workout.
At the workout thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm never riding with you on a motorcycle.
And I want to ride one too.
I'm staying here. I'm sorry. Okay. It's National Hanging Out Day. I don't know what that means. It means something. Patriots Day, now that is important. Patriots Day, officially Patriots Day in Massachusetts and in Maine, civic holiday commemorating the anniversary of the Battle of Lexington and Concord, the first battles of the Revolutionary War. So that's kind of a fascinating little thing there. All right, two other things and then we'll let it go. Three other things and we'll let it go. 1919, so 102 years ago, the first successful parachute jump and free fall was made. 102 years ago. 1987, The Simpsons started their series as a one-minute short on the Tracy Ullman Show. And then 1529, church history, 1529, almost into somewhat of a birth of the Protestant movement. I can talk. Lutheran leaders protested for freedom of religion. From then on, the German Lutheran reformers were known as Protestants. Yeah, that's how it got the name, because it's a protest. See? All right, there you go. Okay, cover that. Trivia question straight on the board. It's not the easiest one, but it's not a bad one. What bird did God provide for the Israelites to eat meat? Remember they wanted meat? God said, okay, you want meat? Okay, here it comes. And then they sent them all that meat. And then they started eating. They never gave thanks. And then God started to judge them. What kind of bird was that he provided the meat through? If you know that answer, give us a call or text. Otherwise, T will remind me and I'll tell you at the end. Okay, Ezra. Ezra. The first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy by stirring the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation into writing and to send it throughout his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple in Jerusalem in the land of Judah. All of you who are his people may return to Jerusalem in Judah to rebuild the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. And may your God be with you. Okay, now I want to stop right there. Ezra, for those that don't know, is a combining book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And Ezra himself does not enter into the picture until chapter 7. I want you to get this about Cyrus, because I'm going to ask you a trivia question about Cyrus. We'll see if you're listening. This is the first year that Cyrus is king, okay? After him, there's another Persian king called Cambyses. Then there's Darius, then Xerxes, then Artaxerxes, and then there's another one, Xerxes II, and then finally Darius II, who helps finalize it. In the meantime, Cyrus, king, first year, has the Lord pull and put in his heart, I want you guys to facilitate me and my people building a temple, rebuilding the temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to facilitate the rebuilding of this. And it says the Lord fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy by stirring the heart of Cyrus. God went into this guy's heart. People go, oh, he had free will. No, he didn't. Not in this situation. God wanted it done. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. You say, well, free will over determinationism, or free will over election, or free will over predestination. I don't care. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, in some cases, it looks like it's one way. In some cases, it looks like another way. In this particular case, Cyrus was stirred by God to do something for God. And when it gets to that level, nothing's changing it. Just like Paul sitting on the donkey, then God blinds him and knocks him on his backside and says, you're going to do something. There wasn't a lot of option. We didn't go, no, I disbelieve this whole thing. That wasn't happening. And so in Cyrus's heart, God is stirring. The reason I bring this up is because in our lives today, in our governments, we think that everybody, every person is in charge, every political party is in charge, every humanity chooses all of these things. And it's like, you're kidding, right? God is in charge. Did you not read the book of Daniel? If he doesn't like the way things go, he turns the big powerful people into cows. Okay? I mean, God doesn't care. He isn't up there going, oh, well, they're not following what I want, and I'm just going to go away and cry.
It's like, God's like, okay, you're not doing it this way. You're going to do it this way. It gets done because God wants it to get done. And so he stirs the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing to send it throughout his kingdom. And Cyrus knows it. He's a pagan king being directed by God. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says to the Lord. The God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He can do whatever he wants, right? He's got the authority. He's got the power, right? Next verse. He has appointed me to build him a temple in Jerusalem in the land of Judah. God said, I got a mission for you, and you're going to accomplish it. Wasn't like Cyrus like going, no, I'm in charge. No, he wasn't. God's in charge. And then he says, all of you who say you are his people, you can return. This is the fulfillment of Jeremiah. This is the plan of God. This is the declaration. And it doesn't matter if it takes a pagan king to get this thing going. Our good friend Ray Bentley from Maranatha Chapel in Escondido, California, he wrote an entire series called The Cypress Chronicles. This is one of the most amazing things that's ever happened here, ever, that we just totally miss. God took a foreign king, put it in his heart for him to accomplish his tasks for his people to redeem them. Like, wow. Like, wow is right. And so then Cyrus says in his proclamation, all you who are his people may return to Jerusalem, Judah, to rebuild the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. Even Cyrus knew, okay, well, Jerusalem kind of special to God, so we'll just be careful here. I would like to have children that walk. You know, it's kind of like that's what it's saying. And so he's very careful to make sure that it gets taken care of. God using anybody and everything to accomplish his tasks because he's in charge. You think, well, but this country, you know, like America, it's falling apart. And it's right. Well, guess what? It's not falling apart away from God. It's not like God went to Pluto and said, I think I'll vacation here for a while. And you guys let me know what's going on. The Lord knows what's going on. Relax. God is in charge. That's what we want. Got it? Okay. Trivia? Okay. Trivia. What bird did God provide to the Israelites for meat in the wilderness? Quail. Quail. That's a kind of a, I don't know, low-flying turkey. Quail kind of bird. Quail was the bird. The answer to that specifically is Exodus 16, verse 13. We're going to take a break and then come back because we got lots to do. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
You get into the Word of God and something's going to happen that will blow your mind. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 119:7 says, able to restore the soul. And I've been doing this for a long time. And in my 42 and a half years of devotions and in my diligent devotion time, I kind of separate that between the two. I cannot tell you, it must be thousands of times where my attitude has been, and then I went into the Word of God, and I came out different. It wasn't anything that I did as much as God speaking into me what he knows about his creation. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 60 years, nay, for 70 years, like the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, be in the Word of God. It is alive, and it will give life and impart life to you through God's Spirit. People come and they read the Word of God, and they say, well, I get nothing out of it. Well, they don't mix it with faith, and the Word of God, the promises of God, not mixed with faith, are useless, because you have to be engaged with God. And know he's going to speak. And people are like, well, that's a lot of requirement for me to get in there and read the Word of God. You want me actually to believe that God's going to speak to me? Yes, because he will. And if you don't, you won't hear him. So when you open up that book, take 30 seconds, more than you ever have before, and say, just in this moment, just at this time, tune me in, Lord. Help me to hear what you have to say. Speak to me and let your word breathe life into me.
You're here when I need you the most. When I need you the most. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Hope you're enjoying the show. I like this. I like teaching, though, and talking about stuff like this and getting into it. So in lieu of all of that, though, I do have another trivia question. Let's see if you've been listening. We're going to find out right now. Here's our trivia question. Which king gave the initial encouragement for the Jewish people to return to Jerusalem to build the temple? Which king? We've been talking about it in the last two segments. Which king gave the encouragement for the Jewish people to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple? What was that king's name? If you can remember what we've been talking about, the only other thing I can tell you is if not, it's in Ezra chapter 1. Call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. What was the king's name who said, get back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple? Okay. That's going to be our trivia question, and if you don't answer it, we'll do our best to give you an answer before the end of everything else. Real quickly, though, we're going to do a quick Greek words. Let's do our Greek music. I'm just waiting for, like, somebody to, you know, like, either dance or some baklava, something. Something has to happen there. All right. Here's the word. The word is in our English, it would be the word quickly. In the Greek, it's takou. Takou. So you say takou. Takou is this. This, by the way, this comes from Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The word quickly is taku, and it's where we get the word tachometer. And it means immediately, speedily, shortly, hastily. The word is especially used in the book of Revelation in relationship to imminent return of Christ. Now, people will say, well, he's been gone for 2,000 years. How is that imminent? It's imminent because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So for God, it's been 2 days. So not so long. Okay, got that? Okay. All right. Finally, do it again on the trivia, and then we'll get into it. Very straightforward. Who's the king that started this whole restoring the temple building? What was the king's name that I told you from Ezra chapter 1, verse 1? What was the king's name who started this process? If you know, text us at 214-210-8483 or call 972-445-0770. Okay, ready for this? So the last thing I do want to say, somebody, a good friend actually, texted me and, you know, like praying for leadership. And but, you know, there's a lot of mess right now in the government and everything that's going on. Here's a great way to think of everything that's going on in the government. It's the exact same way to think for your own self, right? It's a mess, but it's God's mess. You're a mess, but you're God's mess.
and he'll take care of it. That's where you trust in the quality of God. That's where you say, it's not that you don't take actions, not that you don't pray, not that you don't intercede, not that you don't have actions, but you trust. You don't operate out of a spirit of fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, has he? So you operate with a greater sense of confidence. Okay? Okay. All right, let me go back to this. I'm not going to give you the answer as to what the king's name is, but that is the trivia question. So the king of Persia said, "The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem in the land of Judah. All you who are his people may return to Jerusalem in Judah and rebuild the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. You may, and may your God be with you. And those who live in any place where Jewish survivors are found should contribute toward their expenses by supplying them with silver and gold, supplies for the journey and livestock, as well as freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem." Okay, watch. Watch this. Somebody texted in so they got the right answer, so I'm very, very happy. Okay, watch this, okay? May your God be with you. Okay, now this is from the king, his edict. May your God be with you. Those who live in any place where Jewish survivors are found should contribute toward their expenses by supplying them with silver and gold, supplies for the journey, livestock, and freewill offerings. I will never tell you that you have to support this show. You will not hear that. You will always hear me say, you've got to be, you know, led by the Spirit. It's got to be a prompting from the Lord. But you will hear me say, you've got to be supportive of the movement of the kingdom of God or the work of God. I think primarily, I believe in my heart, that the first and foremost place that we should be primarily giving is in the very house that we fellowship in the church that we connect to. I'm a strong believer that you support that. It's hard enough. I've been a pastor. It's hard enough. Believe me, it's got its own moments where it's like crazy. And I don't expect you to give here, but I do expect you to be a giver to the cause of the kingdom. Because nobody escapes that. There's no element there that you can justify saying, I'm not going to give anything to any work anywhere because. It's like, they're all crooks. Maybe that's the classic line. Or here's my favorite line, I'm not going to church, they're all hypocrites. Well, then what's one more? I mean, it's like the whole point of that is that's not the thing. You don't give like you're giving to a person. When you give it as unto the Lord. And it's the Lord who sees it as an offering unto him. And he rewards. Sowing and reaping is a real principle. Sowing bountifully, reaping bountifully. But you're not excluded from supporting one another in the cause at any point. Okay? Now, well, it's got to be tithes, or it's got to be tithes and offerings. It's got to be, yeah, I don't care. You have to be a giver, a contributor to the kingdom work somewhere. I don't care where. I don't care how much. If you want to use 10%, great. Some people have fantastic testimonies. Some people have testimonies that are not as good. Some people give more than 10%. Some people get less than 10%, still get blessed. That's not my call. That's up to God and that person. He knows what's in the person's heart. He knows what's going on, but we have to be contributing somewhere, everywhere. I mean, in that principle. And so the idea behind that is to understand that we should contribute towards whatever it is that we can do that we are connected to for the kingdom of God. It should be that way. And I would always tell you, first and foremost, take care of your house. Your spiritual house. I just believe that's a good way to approach it. You don't have to do what I'm saying. You don't have to. You're going to do what you want, and you're going to stand before God and give an account of your stewardship. But be a person who's got that cheerful, giving heart, because it might as well go better for you than worse for you, so to speak. And I'm just saying, why would you, you want to have the right attitude. So in this very beginning of this process, the king, who I'm going to have to say his name because I can't wait forever and ever, but this king who literally is fulfilling Jeremiah's prophecy, had his heart stirred by God, makes a proclamation, appoints it for all the Jewish people in his territory and other territories to go and rebuild the temple because God has decided the temple is going to be rebuilt and Jeremiah's prophecy is going to be fulfilled, and this is how it's going to get rolling. And so the king makes the declaration. And then I'll close with this. Then God stirred the hearts of the priests and the Levites and the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to return to Jerusalem to build the temple of the Lord. Everybody's trying to figure out, well, how do you know when you're led by the Lord? This is a great definition right here in Ezra chapter 1. It's a fantastic definition for us, and I think it's verse 5. A great way for us to grasp how the Holy Spirit leads. Then God stirred the hearts of the priests and the Levites and the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to return to Jerusalem to build the temple of the Lord. The Lord singled them out and poured it upon them, moved upon their hearts, and so a new work began. And that's how God begins works. That's how God begins ministries. That's how God begins anything that he's beginning. That's how God begins a new phase of your life, stirs your heart in such a way. And you're like going, oh, I just know this is right. Well, that's the Holy Spirit moving inside you. Okay? There's no other way to define it, no other theology that works with it. That's what it is. It's God, the Holy Spirit, moving in your life to do the things that God has in mind. It's like, okay, you got that? It's like, okay, cool. Which is fabulous. And maybe we're just too insensitive to God doing very cool new stuff. Well, let's have an increase of our sensitivity then. That's the answer to that. Okay? All right. The answer to the trivia is King Cyrus. We said very beginning, in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia. That's the king. That's the king I was talking about. And so he's the one who started this whole process. That because the Holy Spirit moved upon him and stirred his heart. That's like the second verse. That's actually in verse 1. And it's the fulfillment of the prophecy that God made, the declaration he made through his prophet Jeremiah. This is happening no matter what, no matter who tries to stall it or delay it or whatever. This is going to take place because God made a declaration through the prophet. And then now he's bringing about the fulfillment of that declaration. And Cyrus, a foreign, pagan king, to some extent, is responding to the movement of the Holy Spirit in his life, to the stirring of his heart. And then God stirred that same way, stirred the priests, the Levites, and the leaders to get to the work that God wants. Make sure, in this lesson, make sure you're sensitive to get to the work that God wants. Okay? That's fair enough, way. All right. Good first opener. We'll see how that goes. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.